الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الهمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن الذي ليس لصفته حد محدود ولا نعت موجود ولا وقت معدود ولا أجل ممدود فطر الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمته وودد بالسخور ميدان أرضه والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين خاتم النبيين سيدنا الممجد بشيرنا المصدق نذيرنا المعيد المصطفى الأمجد محمود الأحمد الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وفي الأرض بأبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم وغاصب حقوقهم ومنكر فضائلهم من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى لقاء يوم الدين أما بعد السلام عليك يا وارث آدم صفوة الله السلام عليك يا وارث نوح النبي الله السلام عليك يا وارث إبراهيم خليل الله السلام عليك يا وارث موسى كليم الله السلام عليك يا وارث عيسى روح الله السلام عليك يا وارث محمد حبيب الله السلام عليك يا وارث أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام ولي الله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته I've been requested by those who have organized the programs to speak in English as well as in Urdu for the benefit of those who understand English language only and of course those who are bilingual. Therefore I will inshallah ta'ala be speaking the next few days here where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me the opportunity to share a little of what I know with my brothers here in Chelmsford. Normally in many places that I have visited and I go to recite majalises, sometimes the English speaker comes and makes a speech and all the people who understand the English lecture do sit in great numbers. But the moment the speaker in English has finished speaking and the one who is now supposed to speak Urdu comes on the minbar, you will see and notice that those who were there only for English stand up and they become outstanding Muslims. While those who understand Urdu language normally come to the mosque before those who understand English language and they sit perhaps sometimes not understanding one word of what has been spoken in English language, yet they sit there for thawab and to get the thawab and also the barakat of majalises or majlis that is being recited, and finally after matan they go outside. I hope inshallah it is not the case here that after we finish the English and we start the Urdu, people start disappearing. For I remember an incident where I read somewhere in the book that there was once a cat that was teaching its kitten how to find food at night. The mother cat was teaching the kitten. And it took them to the dustbin at night and said, this is how you find your food at night. So sometimes I may not be with you, sometimes I may be with you. While the mother cat was trying to teach the kitten how to find food, immediately somewhere along the line a dog appeared. And you know the enmity between a dog and the cat. When the cat saw the dog, instinctively the mother cat wanted to protect the children. It did not know what to do. It was facing a dilemma. And suddenly when the dog barked, the cat barked back. The dog kept barking and the cat barked back. And I say barked back. When the dog saw the cat barking, the dog was of course surprised, and immediately it was scared and ran away from there. Suddenly the mother cat looks at the kitten and said, there is always advantage in learning the second language. Therefore, when Urdu is being spoken, those who don't understand Urdu language, inshallah ta'ala, we hope and pray that they will stay here, if not to understand it, then at least for thawab, so that we are able to share the thawab of these majalises together. I have recited certain verses of Ziyarat-e Waritha before you. It is one of the most authentic of all these ziyarats that can be found in any book in Islam. Reported through Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq sallallahu alayhi. The most authentic of all these ziyarats in Mafatih or any other book is Ziyarat-e-Waritha. The first verse of Ziyarat-e-Waritha is As-salamu alayka ya waritha Adama Sifwatillah or Safwatillah, both are correct. Peace be upon you, O the inheritor of Adam, who was the Safih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Nuhin Nabiyillah. Peace be upon you, O one who is the inheritor of Nuh, who was the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Ibrahima Khalilillah. Peace be upon you, O the inheritor of Ibrahim, who was the best friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalil means the best friend. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Musa Kalimillah. Peace be upon you, O the inheritor of Musa, who used to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Isa Ruhillah. Peace be upon you, O the inheritor of Isa, who was the Ruh, the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Muhammadin Habibillah. Peace be upon you, O the inheritor of Muhammad, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, Waliyillah. Peace be upon you, the inheritor of Ali, who was the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, the Ziyarat-e Waritha continues. What was it that Imam alayhi salatu wasalam inherited from Adam? Did Adam leave behind abundant wealth? Did Adam leave behind something which was talked about that was not inherited by anyone, but the primary inheritor of Adam became Imam alayhi salatu wasalam? Or Nuh? Or Isa, or Musa, or the Holy Prophet, or Amir al-Mu'mineen. What was it that was left behind by these people? One after the other, as we recite in Ziyarat-e Waritha, when we say, Ashhadu annaka qad aqamta as-salah, wa aataita as-zakah, wa amarta bil-ma'roof, wa nahayta anil munkar. We bear witness to all that has transpired, whatever we recite in Ziyarat-e Waritha. What are we bearing witness to? You and I are supposed to understand before anything else the existence of the human being by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we will ever be able to understand what was left behind by Adam, or the philosophy of what was left behind by Noah, or the philosophy of what was left behind by Isa or Musa. The primary and the most important aspect of any life, unfortunately, which the human being has neglected completely, is to know oneself. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wasalam, as well as the Holy Prophet of Islam says, من عرف نفسه فقد عرف ربه. Indeed, one who has understood oneself is able to understand his Lord. Therefore, the claim of knowing your Lord, or the claim of knowing my Lord without having understood myself, is a false claim. It is just an illusion when I say I love my Lord. When I say I know my Lord. When I say I understand my Lord, is nothing but an illusion if I have not been able to understand myself. It is ironic that a pharmacist, for example, or a doctor, or a philosopher, or a lawyer, or a teacher, or someone who knows mathematics, or any other subject that you want to talk about. Tell a philosopher to speak about tasbih. Normally philosophers can philosophize on every subject, on every item that you give to them, they will try to philosophize it and will never get short of words. You tell a philosopher to speak about tasbih, he will probably speak about tasbih for an hour while he has probably never held it in his life, throughout his life, in his hands. Ask a doctor to speak about medicine, he will probably recite a whole ashra on medicine. He knows about medicine. Ask a lawyer to speak about law, and this lawyer will speak about law for hours without getting tired. Ask an engineer to speak about what his field is, and he will speak about it. Ask anyone to speak about a subject. Ask an alim to speak about the angels. He will speak about the angels as though he has met them again and again and again before. Ask him to speak about jinn, and he is there. He is never short of words. My question is, how much can I rely on the information of all these people who are providing information to me on different fields? A medical doctor may provide to us all sitting here information on medicine, abundant information on medicine. How much can I rely on what he is saying? How can I be sure what he speaks is the truth? How can I understand what he says is something which has either transpired, or it is something which can be comprehended? Take a lawyer, or any other person. It is just, for example, if I was sitting here right now before you, and I say, brothers, can I have the addresses of each one of you? And someone amongst you stands up and says, you don't need to ask everyone, I know them all by heart. I will give you the addresses of each individual by heart. And he comes and sits next to me and starts giving me the address of this gentleman, and this one here, and this one here. Finally, when it reaches to himself, he says, but Agha, I have forgotten my postcode. How can I rely on the information that he has given to me regarding the other addresses? How can I be sure what information he has given me regarding others is a true 100% information? Tell a man to speak about anything, just like I am having a verbal diarrhea, about anything, and they will speak to you for hours. Tell a man Or ask a man, who are you? And I challenge you, he will not be able to speak for 1 minute of who he is. But besides telling me whose son he is and what are his achievements, he is not able to speak about himself even for 1 minute. The same man who talks about the angels, the same man who talks about the jinn, the same person who talks about medicine, who talks about law, who talks about engineering, who speaks about anything that you tell him, who can speak about a football player, who can speak about anything, anything. This gentleman, who may be the most intelligent man that you have ever seen, will not be able to speak about himself or what he is even for 1 minute. He may be able to tell me whose son he is. He may be able to tell me what are his achievements, who his uncle is, where he comes from. That is all. There is nothing else about himself that he knows apart from whose son he is and what are his achievements. This is something that I leave for you to ponder. Who am I? Why am I? Where am I? What am I here for? How have I been created? What is within me? Who has created me? How he has created me? When did he create me? What was the purpose of the creation? We are all I at least am someone who has neglected this side of my life. So long as I don't understand myself, the concept of Tawheed will never be understood. So long as I do not understand what lies within me, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib says, أَتَزْعَمُ أَنَّكَ جِرْمٌ صَغِيرٌ. Do you consider yourself to be an insignificant germ? وَفِيكَ انْطَوَى الْأَكْبَرُ الْعَالَمُ. While within you lies a great universe. What do I know about this universe which lies within me? How am I supposed to understand it? The meaning of spirituality is only a lip service if I have not understood how far I can travel spiritually. The meaning of knowing myself is just an illusion if I have not even tried to understand who I am. Let me give an example. There are two words that are used in any language. In Gujarati, or in Urdu, you say, in English, you say me and mine. Urdu, mera and main. Gujarati, maru and hu. Kachi, munjo, ane, au. Any language you take, it is me and mine. Me is I. Just bear with me for a second, and the result or the conclusion of what I am trying to give will be something that you will think about. Me is self, as you and I understand it. Mine is anything and everything that comes under my jurisdiction. The tasbih is mine, it is not me, correct? If I hold the tasbih in my hand, the tasbih is mine. That means the tasbih is under my jurisdiction. I will move it the way I want to move it. I will command it to move the way I want it to move. Therefore, the tasbih is mine. Anything and everything that comes under my jurisdiction is called mine and myself. Therefore, let me ask a question now. If this is understood, this amama that I wear, is it me or is it mine? Simple, it is mine. The aba or the jubbah that I am wearing, is me or mine? It is mine. The shirt that I am wearing is not me, it is mine. In any language, you will call it mine. It is not me. this jubba is mine, it is not me. This abba is mine, it is not me. Let us leave these aside. Is this hand me or mine? When you will refer to your hand, will you call it me or will you call it yours or mine? Mine. This hand is mine. These eyes are mine. The nose is mine. The lips are mine. The chest is mine. The arms are mine. The feet are mine. Let us put them all together as a human body. Is this body me or is it mine? How will you refer to it? Is it me or is it mine? It is mine. If the body is yours, if the eyes are yours, if the nose is yours, if the jubba is yours, who are you? Ask this question to yourself. Who am I? This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. The head is mine. The skull is mine. The eye is mine. The brain is mine. Everything is mine. Therefore, it is under my jurisdiction. I command it the way I want to command it. Therefore, who am I? Why am I? What am I? Speak about yourself for more than a minute and you will not be able to. Why? Because we have never ever looked into this side of our life. If this side of our life is understood, which is the most important part of understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have never understood anything. It is just a life that we lead, that we are going to live, and one fine day we will become the item of the news and we will be told this man is dead and has become history. أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله وسلامه used to go to the graveyard in Qabristan. After reciting the dua in Qabristan, he used to stand up and walk with a stick in his hand around the graves. And then he used to look towards the sky and again towards the grave and say, Ya Ilahi, how many unexplored minds lie inside these graves? The minds that have never been used. You know, when you listen to the jokes of Irish and British, in many books and newspapers, you will find so many jokes that are created regarding these people who have never used their brains and these people who have used their brains. None of us are using them the way we are supposed to use it. We may direct a joke towards a particular nation or towards a particular individual, but if you will think deep, none of us, absolutely none of us, is using what we are supposed to use. When I say none of us, I mean those people who have not even tried to understand who they are. Whenever one is asked regarding oneself, one has a tendency of pointing towards one. When I have to say I, then you will always see that this finger points towards this body, because the back of the mind says that this is what I is. Human being has concluded that I am these two eyes. I am this nose. I am this lip. I am this skull. I am these ears. I am this body, and this is what I am, and that is how he understands of himself. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being as the best of the creation. He never congratulated himself. Read entire Quran. He never congratulated himself after creating anything. But having created a human being, he said, Tabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqin. Allah congratulated himself for having created the best of the creation. What is best about me? You will see some philosophers speaking about aql. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to create a human being, he made an announcement before the angels. And he said, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ Surah Al-Baqarah. I am going to create a vicegerent on earth. Immediately, as Allah makes this announcement to the angels, to the inhabitants of the heaven, He makes this announcement and He says, Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. I am going to create a vicegerent on earth. Immediately, there was an unfavorable retort from the angels. أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك. يا الله, are you going to create one who is going to create fasad, who is going to create corruption on earth while we are here singing your glory, glorifying you all the time? The angels did not want the creation of the human being. Or they made an unfavorable remark before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the creation of the human being. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. And they said, why, oh Allah, why do you want to create these people who are going to create bloodshed, who are going to create fasad, while we are singing your glory? We glorify you all the time. Allah, in response to what the angel said, says, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamu. I know all that you do not know. What was it that Allah knew regarding the human being that the human being did not know? That the angel did not know? What was it that the angel was trying to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But ironically, the beauty of Quran and Majid is that when you read Quran, at one point Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves you to ponder. Here the story is finished. I know what you know. What was it? Again, after the beauty of Quran is after leaving you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reminds you again in Surah Al-Ma'idah, after Baqarah, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us again. And He says to the Holy Prophet of Islam, He says, وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ ابْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. Read to these people the story of Adam and his two children. What was the story of Adam and his two children? إِذْ قَرَّبَ قُرْبَانًا فتقبل من أحدهما ولم يتقبل من الآخر. When Adam's two children were put to test, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demanded a sacrifice from both of them. When both of them presented their individual sacrifices before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah accepted the sacrifice of one and rejected the sacrifice of the other brother. Habil's sacrifice was accepted by Allah and Qabil's was rejected. Now Allah says to the Holy Prophet, remind them, read unto them, recite unto them the story of Adam and his two sons. When both of them presented their sacrifices before us, إِذْ قَرَّبَ قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. One sacrifice was accepted and the other's one was not accepted, it was rejected. The ones whose sacrifice was accepted was Habib, and the ones whose sacrifice was rejected was Qabil. When Qabil's sacrifice was rejected, immediately Qabil says to his brother in jealousy, لأقتلنك. I am going to kill you. Qabil says to Habil, لأقتلنك. I am going to kill you. My question to Allah is, Ya Allah, did the angels not tell you before the creations of Adam, before you even created Adam, did the angels not tell you that what you are creating is going to create bloodshed on earth? Did they not say this to you? And you said unto them, I know what you do not know. And today the first generation of Adam is proving what the angels say. لأقتلنك. I am going to kill you. The problem was the angels, and I know there are going to be many questions with regard to what I am saying this evening, but inshallah I shall answer all these questions. When the Qurbani is accepted, the angels have already said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the group, these are the species, these are the people who you are going to create. They are going to create bloodshed on earth. We are singing your glory. We are glorifying you. Here, the first generation proves what the angels had said. لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ, I am going to kill you. The problem was that the angels understood a human being from one side only. The angels did not know the human being, the other side of the coin. They did not know what a human being was capable of. The reply suggests what a human being is capable of. The reply of Qabil to Habil, the reply of Habil to Qabil is, لَإِن بَسَطْتَ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي, if you shall raise your hand to kill me, مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ, I am not going to raise my hands to kill you. Why? إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ, I am scared of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the master of the universe. Maybe it is not clear of what I am trying to say. This side of the human being was not understood by the angels. There is a book which you may have read, or those, because it is in English as well. In Farsi, it is called Siyahat-e Gharb. In English, it is called Journey to the Unseen World. It is regarding the Barzakh, the period of Barzakh, whereby the Ayatollah who has written the book has actually dramatized the whole alam of Barzakh, the whole journey of Barzakh, in a dramatic situation, dramatic style. He has presented it to the people. In it, you will find that very confidently he writes at one point in his book. He says, I read this a very long time ago in Farsi, and it was very beautiful the way he had written it. He portrays himself to be dead. And then he says that I was waiting for the angels to come and meet me inside my grave so that I can ask them face to face, was it not you that objected to my creation as a human being? Have I not proved myself that I can rise above you as an angel? One requires guts to be able to say this. But these are the words that can be spoken about, or that can be understood by those people who have at least tried to travel the path of self-understanding, soul searching of who they are. How am I going to know anything else on earth, let alone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I have not understood myself? Who am I? What is my potential? What is my capability? How far can I rise? A human being has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with four powers. The angel was only given the power of intellect, that's all. There is no other power that the angel enjoys. The animals have been given the power of passion and desire and the power of anger, but they do not have the power of intellect. And that is why when you look at a dog, or you look at a lion, or you look at any animal, you will see that there is absolutely no humanity in them, because they are animals. They have not been given intellect. They have been given the power of passion and desire. They have been given the power of anger, and that is all. The angel has been given the power of intellect, while the human being has been given four powers: the power of intellect, the power of passion and desire, the power of anger, as well as the power of imagination, making the human being the best of the creation for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The distinction between, that is why Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. When a human being goes below his level, Allah says these people are like animals. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ. Nay, they are worse. When a man falls from the status where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desired to keep him, he becomes worse than the animal. And when he rises above from where Allah has kept him, he becomes better than the angel. His position is elevated higher than that of the angel. This is what Allah says, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you know not. I understand what you understand not. I can comprehend what you can comprehend not. You may object to the creation of the human being. You do not know what a human being is capable of. But let me ask myself, what am I capable of? Earning money? Getting married? Making millions? Rolling into millions? And finally dying. This is my capability. This is what I am. How do I rise? What makes me different from the animals? Living in a house? The animal has its own burrow, has its own den. What makes me different from an animal? How am I different from an animal? I also have the passion of desire. I also have the power of passion and desire. So does the animal. I also have the power of anger. So does the animal. I also have the power of intellect. So does the angel. What makes you different from the animal and the angel? How come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you are the best of the creation? What am I? Therefore man requires to travel within. And until he comes out of this shell, he will not be able to understand any other aspect of religion, particularly Tawheed. Tawheed cannot be understood by one who has not understood himself. He may be able to philosophize on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many, many philosophies. Millions of philosophies can be spoken about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can be enjoyed. Many orators can come and speak in the best oratory power and impress upon people regarding Allah. But so long as one has failed to understand oneself, one will not be able to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Majority of our sins, statements like what we do in our lives, the sins that we commit in our lives, if we had understood ourselves, if we had comprehended Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever the level of comprehension, there would have not been a speck of sin on anyone's shoulder. Statements like these, when the Holy Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says to Abu Dharr, he says, Ya Abu Dharr, O Abu Dharr, La tanzur ila sighari dhanb. Don't look at how small the sin that you are committing is. La tanzur ila sighari dhanb. Don't look at how small the sin is. انظر إلى من عصي. Look at who you are sinning against. Now, it is a statement that has been spoken by me and heard by you. How many of us have comprehended it? How many of us have understood what the Holy Prophet of Islam wishes to say? انظر إلى من عصي. Look at who you are sinning against. Don't look at the might of Allah here. Don't look at the wrath of Allah here. Look at Allah Himself. Look at His rahmah. Look at His mercy. What do I know about His mercy? How does my head automatically bow down before Allah? Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa sallam. Translated a lot of things from Tawrat and explained to the people during his time. He said one of the translations of many translations of Amir al-Mu'mineen from Tawrat, regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that Allah says every love on earth has a motive behind it. There is no love on earth which is unconditional. A parent might object to this. A mother might object to this fact that there is no way that I have any motive behind the love that I give to my child. When I love my child, when I love my son, when I love my daughter, I love them unconditionally, is the argument of the parent. Allah says in the translation of Tawrat, which Amir al-Mu'mineen did, and these are the couplets which are there in Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah says there is no love on earth which is unconditional. Every love has a motive behind it. When one claims to love someone, there is a motive behind that love. When a parent loves the child, there is something at the back of their head for loving the child. Otherwise, if the love was unconditional, the parents would never, ever have felt it bad if their child spoke against them tomorrow, if it was unconditional. Therefore, there is a motive behind every love. And then Allah says, O son of Adam, I swear by my glory and I swear by myself, the love that I have for you is unconditional, for I love you more than anyone on earth. You cannot give me anything, you cannot increase anything to me, you cannot take anything away from me. You are an insignificant being and I love you purely because I love you. When you understand statements like these, after having understood Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my head automatically bows down and says, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdihi. Not the way I pray. Daddy taught me, say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdihi, and that is how sajda is done. And that is continuing from the time Daddy taught me and Mummy taught me until now. What am I? How am I? Who am I? These are the issues that you and I must discuss in depth to be able to understand our creation and the purpose of our creation and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create the jinn and the ins except so that they can serve us and us only. Not to serve. In Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah says, do not associate me with dirham. Dirham means money, wealth. You do shirk with wealth. When you look at wealth, you associate wealth with me. And shirk is gunah. Do not associate me with your dirhams. I am well above the darahim, the dirhams, and the dinars. The nanir, it is called in Arabic. I am well above. Do not associate me. Yet man sometimes, if you see him, he finds his achievements to be the greatest things on earth. He looks at himself, if he is an engineer or an alim, or if he is something, or he has made certain achievements in his life, he starts to find himself in an elevated position. False sense of security, I call it. Falsely he starts believing that he is something, while he does not realize that within him he is carrying najas. He does not realize that if he was to drop dead just now, 5 minutes later, if I was to touch him, I will become najas. And man feels, I have reached one level. He feels that these achievements of making millions, of giving, of achievements in his life, he's become this, and I have become this, and he has become this, and therefore he feels that he has reached an elevated position before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one who reaches any high position except that one who fears him most. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a human being. Insha'Allah, we will be discussing here why we have been created. together coupled with the mission of Imam Hussein in Karbala. I apologize this evening for coming late, because it was my first time in Chelmsford. I have never been to Chelmsford before, and I did not exactly know the roads, although the internet is full of directions. Perhaps my sense of direction was wrong. However, I apologize, and therefore I will end my English lecture here this evening, inshallah ta'ala, and continue with this perhaps inshallah tomorrow and the nights to come, so that we are able to at least in these 10 days understand certain statements that were made by Imam alayhi salatu wasalam in the plains of Karbala. When these statements were made by Imam, they were so deep. For example, Imam says, وَعَيْتَمْتُ الْعَيَالَ كَيْ أَرَانَ. I have orphaned my children simply and solely because I wanted to meet you. لَوْ قَتَّعُونِ بِالسَّيْفِ إِرْبًا إِرْبًا. If these people were to cut me into pieces with their swords, nothing will change my zeal of wanting to. There are certain statements like these which have very deep meaning, which we need to understand why Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. What was the philosophy behind him saying these words? Tonight is the first night of Muharram. In every farsh, in every place where majlis is of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam is recited, where the dhikr of Aba Abdullah is uttered, whether it is in the form of marfiyah, whether it is in the form of majlis, whether it is in the form of nawha, the mother of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam comes to that mosque. Hazrat Fatima Zahra comes to that place, no matter how small the place is, even if it is one person uttering the dhikr of Hussein. Not only does she come to these majalis, when we are here for the 10 days of Muharram, do not consider yourself sitting alone in this farsh. There is a mazloom mother sitting here together with us, who is wiping our tears while they roll down our cheeks in commemoration of the martyrdom of Imam alayhi salam. I will speak for a few minutes in Urdu for Masaib, then I will end the lecture this year. Muharram ki pehli shabat, ek dukhyari maa farsh aza pe hamare saath baithi hui, hamari aankhon ke aansu poochne ke liye aayi. جب محرم کا چاند نمودار ہوتا تھا, کربلا کے بعد امام زین العابدین جب اس چاند کو دیکھا کرتے تھے تو آنکھوں سے آنسو بہنا شروع ہو جاتے. کیوں نہ ہوتے؟ اس لیے کہ یہ وہ امام تھے جنہوں نے اپنے بھائی علی اکبر کے سینے پہ برچی کے پھل کو دیکھا. یہ وہ امام تھے جس نے اپنے چچا عباس کے شان قلم دیکھے. یہ وہ امام تھے جس نے نوک نیزہ پہ اپنے بابا کے سر کو دیکھا. کیوں آنکھوں سے آنسو نہ بہے؟ محرم کی پہلی رات ہے, غم کے ایام ہیں. ہم و آپ انشاءاللہ غم منایا کریں گے, امام کو رویا کریں گے, مگر عزاداروں ذرا مدینے کی طرف رخ کیجئے. جب امام مدینے سے روانہ ہو رہے تھے, نانا کے روزے پہ آئے اور فریاد کی, نانا حسین چھوڑنا نہیں چاہتا ہے مدینہ, حسین مدینے کو نہیں چھوڑنا چاہتا ہے, مگر نانا مجبور ہے حسین, حسین کو آپ کا جوار چھوڑنا پڑ رہا ہے, حسین کو آپ کا روزہ چھوڑنا پڑ رہا ہے. یہ کہہ کے نانا کو خدا حافظ کہا, اور اس کے بعد حسین ماں کی قبر پہ بہن زینب کے ساتھ آئے. بہن زینب کے ساتھ ماں کی قبر پہ پہنچے، اپنے آپ کو ماں کی قبر پہ گرا دیا، اماں حسین وعدہ تسلی پورا کرنے کے لیے جا رہا ہے، اماں خدا حافظ، اب حسین جو یہاں سے آپ کی قبر سے جدا ہوگا، اماں اس کے بعد حسین دوبارہ واپس نہ آئے گا۔ ایک مرتبہ زینب نے حسین کو دیکھا، حسین نے زینب کو دیکھا، بہن نے بھائی کو دیکھا، بھائی نے بہن کو دیکھا، پھر ماں کی قبر کے اوپر بیٹھ گئے، اماں حسین جا رہا ہے، اماں خدا حافظ، اب قیامت کے دن ملاقات ہوگی۔ عجب نہیں کہ قبر سے آواز آئی ہو، بیٹا حسین گھبرانا نہیں، یہ دکھیاری ماں تمہارے ساتھ ساتھ، ارے مدینے سے کربلا، کربلا سے کوفہ، کوفے سے شام۔ الذي ظلم وجه المتربين إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون۔ خدایا ہماری اس کریم لذداری کو اپنی بارگاہ میں قبول فرما، پالنے والے جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا کامل و عاجل عطا فرما، خدایا جو مقروض ہیں ان کے قرضوں کو جلد از جلد ادا کر، جو بے اولاد ہیں ان کو اولاد صالح عطا فرما، قائم آل محمد کا ظہور جلد از جلد فرما، ان کے ظہور پہ ان کی آواز پہ لبیک کہنے کی توفیق عطا فرما۔ مالک جب ہمارا آخری وقت ہو، ہماری آخری سانسیں ہوں، ہمارا جانکنی کا وقت ہو، یا اللہ اس وقت شیطان کو ہم سے دور رکھنا، اس وقت ہمارے دل میں محمد و آل محمد کی محبت رکھنا۔ پالنے والے ہمیں توفیق دے کہ ہم اپنے آپ کو پہچان سکیں، پالنے والے ہمیں توفیق دے کہ ہم تیری ذات کو سمجھ سکیں۔ وآخر دعوانا الحمدللہ رب العالمین۔